So don't forget, just a little reminder, April 1st, 9 o'clock here at the church, here, okay? Service at 9 o'clock, so. Well, let's take our Bibles. Let's make our declaration before we say, this is life. I will honor it today as His word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank y'all for getting the words to that song. You know, you just kind of, okay, and lift it up. You know, it's hard because you see, you get a song, you know, they change a few words, you know, here or there to get the right words, and that's hard because we have to get the words, and sometimes we've got to go and change a few of them, you know, to fit the song. So, but thank y'all for getting that. I mean, that was great. I mean, that was just a beautiful song. God is our refuge. People don't ever forget that.
Yeah.
You know, as life goes on, and sometimes we struggle with life, you know, it's just struggle. Not that we struggle with our relationship to the Lord, not so much that. But sometimes in our struggle with life, we need to be reminded that life comes from God. And He is our refuge, a place that we can run to, you know, run to. You know, the guy that wrote God is My Refuge, I forget his name, but he was on a trip to somewhere, years, long time ago. He was on a train trip. He was on a train, and something happened, and they all had to get off and whatever else of the train, whatever, in a secluded place. And it started to pour down rain. And they couldn't go back in the train for whatever reasons because something had happened. And what they saw was, this guy, he saw they had mountains on either side, and they had a little cliff area. And what they did was, the Lord had showed them, they all got in to that cliff area of the rock. And that mountain became their refuge. You see? And that's just like us. In our walk with the Lord, we got to get in the cliff of that mountain. And even though the rains may come, even though the flooding of the rain may come, even though the hailstorm may come, even though the thunderstorms may come, even though the lightnings may come and the wind will blow severely, we can get in that cliff knowing that God is protecting us. And no matter what happens on the outside, we're taken care of on the inside. But you see, it's our choice if we get in that cliff or not. God has made Himself to be the refuge. But it's mankind that has to decide if they go into the refuge. Amen. We gotta run, it says. It didn't say, you know, the song said, it didn't say walk, it said run to the refuge.
Amen.
And as we get in that refuge, He's there to speak to us. He's there to tell us things. He's there to encourage us. He's there to get our focus back on God and what He wants to do and where He wants us to go. There's a scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. What a great scripture. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Hebrews. And he says this. He's encouraging the people in that church, in that region, in that area. He says, look, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, And what?
Forever.
I mean, that's amazing. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church, the Hebrew church. The Hebrew. That's like, you know, God raised. They're still apostles today, people. There's the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're still around. God has raised. Maybe there's not as many pastors. Maybe there's not as many evangelists. Maybe there's not as many prophets and apostles and all that stuff. But they're still here. God has called men and women into those offices. And some men and women can function in more than one. You know, they can be an apostle, but also they can be a pastor. They can be a prophet and also be an evangelist and a pastor. So they can function. But God has still raising up that in the local churches, in the body of Christ, God's church is still alive and well and moving. God's church is still alive and well and saving men's souls by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's amazing to me. That should put a step in your walk, my Lord.
Come on.
That he's the same, that, hey, he's just not going to do what he wants to do in the Old Testament or with the apostles and the disciples. But he, what he did for them, he can do for us today. He's the same. Our God, this is a word, is a constant God. He's consistent with who he is. He's consistent. He's the same, no matter what. Consistent with his spirit, consistent with his word, consistent in all the things that he does upon the earth. Consistent. We have the greatest scripture, one of the greatest scriptures, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life only comes through Jesus Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Nothing else. No one else.
Amen.
You just celebrated, what was yesterday, St. Patrick's Day? You wore green, great. I kind of forgot about it, but. You know what's good? Nobody on the rock pitched me or did anything. You never know, man. You never know. You know, the things I hear and see, you never know. But you see, those saints or those believers from the past, those things, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, my God, thank you, Lord, for her. None of those people can save your soul. None of those people can do anything for you. None of those people can intervene for you today. None of those people can give you anything. You might say, well, Pastor, there's many people that believe. That's okay if they want to believe in those things. I say okay. It's not good. But it's not the truth. You will not get to the Father except through Jesus. That's all. That's the only way. The only way of salvation. And we cannot back down from that, people. We cannot back down and say, well. No. We got to stand firm that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who gave his life for mankind, is the only way to the Father.
Amen.
And we got to herald it out. And look, I know I can, you know, people don't like it. People get mad at you. But let me tell you, I'd rather them get mad here than split hell wide open.
Amen.
I'd rather them get mad at me here and get mad at me here. I don't care. I mean, I like to be liked. You know, I mean, who doesn't? You know, we all want to be liked. But yet we gotta herald forth the word of God and stand firm in our beliefs because we have the word of God to back us up. Jesus is the only way. It's not just one of the ways. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look, the way he took care of people back then, he'll take care of us today. He'll do what he has to do to take care of things. He's the same, people. He's consistent. He's someone you can count on with your whole life. You know, he is someone that I can go to the Father and say, Lord, I give you my life. That's not easy sometimes. I mean, you know, we all been saved and we ask the Lord, we declare him Lord and Savior, but to come to a place now of saying, Lord, I give you my life and all my endeavors. And trust him with it. To get to the place where we can actually say, Lord, I give you my spouse. Do whatever it takes, Lord God. Lord, I give you my children. And call their names out before you. And Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, help me never to intervene in what the Spirit of God is trying to do in their lives. Lord, I give you my grandchildren. Into your hands I place them, Lord. And Father, never let me cross the line of interrupting what the Spirit of God is doing. Because you see, sometimes when things get rough in their lives, we like to intervene and fix them and give them this. And maybe the Spirit of God may want that. But we got to know what the Spirit of God is saying. And sometimes he may say, slack off. Because we don't want to hinder what God's going to do. Because you see, this is the deal. We want God to bring everyone in our families down to their knees. That means to humble themselves down to their knees, that they have to look up to call upon the name of the Lord, of our God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want, people. That's what we want. And we got to pray it into being. We got to speak it into being. We got to say, Lord, move on those things. Move on those things. Asking the Father to move upon situations that we know is impossible with mankind. You know, Jelaine's uncle, we heard they called hospice for him. He lives in New Orleans, and the first thing I said was his soul. His soul. You know, they were calling, not them, but family was just calling for prayer for his, that God would heal him. And I said, look, I want healing for him, but the number one thing is his soul. You know, and I started calling out the name of our Lord and saying his name to him, saying, Father, move. Father, Lord, whatever it takes, send somebody his way. Whatever. You know, it's like some places you can't go. You can't be there for, you know, obvious reasons. But I tell you what, as we call upon the Father, he has people everywhere.
Amen.
He can use radio. He can use television. He can use all those things. And people, and bring them in. So, you know, we say, Lord, we call out his name before the Father, say, Lord, Lord, I want to make sure he's saved, Father, just in case he died. Well, we all want to die, but just in case he died soon, that he can go into heaven. Go into heaven. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 15. Chapter 15. I'm going to start reading and I'm going to stop reading at certain verses and start over again, okay? You know, just kind of read some and then get back, explain maybe some things and go back to it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, or with a demon. Here we see Jesus You know, we know Jesus was 100% man. He was born of flesh. He didn't have the sin nature. We all got it, but he didn't have that because he got nothing from his earthly father Joseph and earthly mother Mary. So that sin nature that was given to all of us from Adam and Eve, he didn't have. But he was 100% God because he was God that left the throne, which was the Son of God, came and was born of Mary and now upon the earth. Well, you know, just as, you know, we need rest, Jesus needed rest. And Jesus, at the age of 30 to 33 and a half years, those 3.5 years, he went around with his disciples ministering as far as preaching the gospel, healing people, you know, feeding people, doing all kinds of those things. And here we see Jesus leaving and he's going to Capernaum, or he left Capernaum and was deported into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, trying to get away just a little bit to rest. You know, that's just like when you do a full day's work at work. When you get home, you want to rest, huh? Just recuperate. Or let's say on a Saturday, you cut your grass, you weed eat, you do all kind of stuff, just to make things look good, and that you should do. Make things look nice. But you know, that night, you know, you kind of, you're tired, huh? That's just like, you know, after like today preaching, it's tiresome when I leave and go home, you eat dinner and you just kind of get in that lazy boy and you just sleep. You know, it's just because you put it out of the physical part, even though the Spirit of God is turning on the inside and is moving. You know, the Spirit of God is moving, but it takes, God uses the physical body of man and a man and a woman to get his work done upon the earth. And here we see Jesus had tried to get away. He was going to rest a little bit. And because of the people, they were hearing about all the things that Jesus was doing. Can you imagine if we heard about a man? They say he's the savior of the world, and he's walking around, and he has 12 men that are with him, and they're feeding 5,000 people, not counting the men and the women, the children and the women. 5,000, that's about 15,000. He's healing people. He's laying hands on people. People are touching the hem of his garments and being healed. He's raising people from the dead. I mean, all kinds, and this word gets around. Because you see, he had to travel basically on foot or by camel. So he didn't go that far. You know, that's, you know, let's say 20, 30 miles is far when you're walking on your feet or you're going by, you know, a camel. That's a long ways. So he stayed in the Capernaum area, the Sidon area, Tyre area. Stayed in that area, just went around preaching the word of God and healing people and all kinds of things happening. Word gets around. The power of God was moving. The presence of the Holy Ghost. And here we see in verse 2. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. She was desperate, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." You want to bet she went all over trying to get help for that daughter? She was vexed. That means demon possessed. That means the demons on the inside of her made her do all kinds of evil, destroying her own body. Evil. She went all over trying to get help, but she heard about Jesus. And people, there are people out there that are going to all kinds of things for help. And the only help is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And she calls out and cries out to Jesus. with a loud voice, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." I mean, she kept saying it over and over and loud. Loud. Verse 23, let's start reading it. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." That was a turnaround right there. Verse 25. She came, she cried out to the Lord. I mean, just cried out to him. Thou son of David. And honestly, if you read the text, she shouldn't have called him son of David. She's a Gentile. Gentiles don't do that. Which is all of us. Okay. But back then, only the Jews, only the Israelites, were the ones that could call him the son of David. So basically, when she called out to him, cried out to him in desperation, and he never answered her, it's like he never heard her. He was trying to change her cry for him. Because she was relying on herself to get the healing for her daughter. You see? And so finally, the disciples said, "Jesus, she keeps hollering." And like they come and tell him something like, "You don't hear this?" He hears it all. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, did Jesus not care about this woman?" No, he cared enough to get her to the right place so she could get her healing for her daughter. That's how much he cared for her. And she cried and cried out to him. And the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, you don't hear this woman? Send her away." Because she had no right at that time. That was his first advent. That means his first coming to the earth was for the Jewish people. Not so much for us. And so she had no right. But verse 25, it starts to change. And she starts to change her heart. Look at verse 25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet or appropriate to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." My God. I can't say this for sure, but this is Joseph's interpretation. As she started to worship him, and even before that, Jesus never admonished her at all, never said anything to her, nothing. But I know Jesus started praying for her to get her on the right track because he loved her. Because it says, "For God so loved the world." And God knew what was best. He had to get her on the right track to receive what she wanted. And as she bowed herself before him in worship, and he turns to her and he says, "How can I give you the bread that belongs to my people," which was the Israelites' people? He came for them, so that they could herald the word of God out. Yet they rejected him, so the Gentiles took it, and now we are the ones heralding out the word of God, of Jesus Christ. And as she says, "But yes, Lord, but even the crumbs that falls from the master's table, the dogs come and take." And you see, back then, just like today, they had dogs that would be in people's homes. They had that. And they loved their dogs like people love their dogs more than their kids almost. You know? And that's okay. We love our dogs, you know? We love them. I mean, look. I hear people, especially on the route, they talk to them like they're human beings. It's like I'm... Ooh, Okay. I mean, you know, like, tell the postman hi, I'm going. Man, if that dog speaks, I'm taking it. We're going to make some money together. I mean, that's okay. That they just, you know, people love their cats and dogs and, you know, all that stuff. But I tell you what, Jesus didn't come for them, and we love them. But Jesus came for souls, for human beings.
Amen.
That's the only thing is that we'll live forever. You know, I hate to say this, and I know because we love our dogs and cats and we love all our, but when they're gone, they're gone. That's it. But we love them while we have them. God takes pleasure in giving them. But just as we have our dogs, you know, and they had their dogs that, you know, underneath the table that would wait for the crumbs to fall, and they'd go and eat it up. Look, when she told that to our Savior and Lord, he turned to her and said, but, you know, I have to give what is rightfully belongs, the bread to my people. And when she said, but yes, Lord, but even the crumbs that fall from the master's table, the dogs eat. Because you see, they considered Gentiles dogs. The Jewish people, they considered anyone that wasn't Jewish as a dog. That was like trash. That's like today, you know, none of us here, but, you know, no, you know how we say poodoo? Okay. What, is that French for some poodoo? No. Okay, no, that's, anybody? Okay, no, okay. You know how we say, right, that's poodoo, you know, poodoo. But, you know, that's how they consider almost, if you want to put it the vernacular, of a Gentile, which was not anybody that's not Jewish, was Gentile, anyone else. But she said, Lord, even the crumbs that fall from the master's tables, those dogs get to eat. What did he say of her? He said, I've never seen such great faith. Such great faith like this woman. And when she left, when she got home, her daughter was delivered. He just spoke the word and it was done. It was done. It was done. No such great faith like I've seen except from that Gentile woman. Now we know the centurion. We know the centurion in Matthew. There's a few chapters before that. It talks about how he came because he had his servant that had some joint disease in his body, paralysis, and couldn't move. And he went to the master because he heard what the master could do. And he went to him and the master, now this is a Gentile, not a Jew. The master, Jesus, turns to him and says, I'm going to your house. And he stopped Jesus. And he said, all you have to do is speak the word, and it's done. And we know, right when he spoke that word, that centurion's servant was healed. And what did Jesus say about the centurion? No such great faith have I seen. So we have one Gentile man, and we have one Gentile woman. You know, it's an amazing thing, and that, you know, he never said such great faith from a Jew or a Jewish person, as far as in those segments when he was here doing those things. It was two Gentile people. God is looking for faith. Faith to build up. Faith to build up in our hearts and in our lives. That the power of God can move like we've never seen him move before. You know. The Bible says in the last days. I think we're living in the last days myself. I mean, the last of the last of the last days. How much last do you want to get? I think we're at the end of the barrel here. Well, God says he will pour out his spirit like we've never seen before. But also we know that old Slewfoot will do all that he can. All that 666 can do, he's going to do. But all that 777 that defeated 666 will do in the end. And you know that's the name, that's the perfect number of God. We're living in the last days. And I want to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon our church. I want to see you healed. I said, healed of what? Healed of anything that your body is healed of. You know, in Psalms, what, I have a scripture there, Psalms, that I gave you. I want to read it. When the children of Israel came out, when the children, it says this, and he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's in Psalms. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Jewish people, or he's talking about the Israelites that came out of Egypt. They came out rich. Remember, they went, they got all their gold and everything, and they came out rich. This is out of millions of people that came out of that area. There was not a feeble person among their tribes. Not one. Oh, the power of Almighty God. And didn't we say in Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. If they walked out of bondage with the Egyptians without a feeble one among them, well, why can't we have that today?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be an example to the world saying, look, when you follow Jesus, he heals your body.
Yeah.
When he follows you, when you follow Jesus, he heals your soul and your spirit and your body on the inside of you. The power of Almighty God. That's the power of our God. Look, there isn't anything that God cannot do. I know there are some things that I need healing from. I know it. I need the power of God to move upon my body. Just like I know there's some of you that need the power of God, of Almighty God, to heal your body. I know that. Lord, do it.
Hallelujah.
Lord, build our faith to believe, Lord God, like the centurion woman. And that centurion, or Gentile woman, the centurion man. Build our faith to believe like they believe, Lord God. That we can have our bodies healed under the power and unction of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. Lord, build our faith to believe. Build our faith to believe. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot do. You may stand, please. I want you to put that song back on. He is our refuge.